Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
How are you?
Great.
Doing good?
Good.
Tell somebody beside you, I am doing great. Now look at the other side and say, howdy.
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 Oh, the Holy Spirit is here. Amen. Moving in our midst, guiding our hearts, showing us the way, giving us encouragement, lifting us up. And listen to this passage of Scripture. There's a song we're talking about rejoicing. And listen to this passage. Rejoice in the Lord. Is there any time left out?
No.
Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then what?
Again.
And then again,
I say
rejoice. We should be a people that have the joy bubbling inside us so much. Like Jesus said when he spoke of the Holy Spirit, he's going to be like a river inside you. And he's going to be bubbling, and he's going to be rolling, and he's going to be moving, and he's going to be flowing. He's not a pond or a lake. He's a moving force inside our life. And we should have him in such a way in moving and who he really is that it impacts our emotions as well as it does our knowledge and our ability to be able to go and do what he wants us to do. But the enemy would have us to be quiet. The enemy would really love to have us live sort of like a sanctified walk with God instead of a free walk with God. Do you know your freedom will frighten people? Some people, not everybody. Your freedom will frighten some people, and it will stir others, and it will create hunger for other people. But see, we sort of major on the ones that don't like it, so we don't do it. But my Bible says, rejoice in the Lord, not in the circumstance. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And he doesn't stop there. He says this. He says, the Lord, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. Let your gentle spirit, let the gentleness of who you are in Christ, the restfulness and your resting in him and your ability to be able to rejoice in the face of whatever it is. He said, let that gentle spirit and that rest that you have be known to everybody. Do you understand that the world is looking for that peace and looking for that rest and looking for that gentleness? They're trying to find it in a lot of different ways, but it's only in him. And when they see it genuinely, they recognize it and they understand that they either do have him or do have that or do not. See, Christ does not just say, okay, I just want you to be happy, just be going around being happy. He doesn't say that as a very dismissive way. He said, it's just a small matter, but just go ahead and just be happy. No, there's a reason for everything that he wants us to do. And in this word, he says this. We just need to capture the essence of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us at any moment. This is not even my message today, but it's his. And that's fine with me. But see, he's saying here, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. They're looking for it. Then he says this. Here's the reason why. The Lord is near.
Yes.
So why you rejoice is the Lord is near. Why you rejoice again? The Lord is near. And why do you allow your gentleness, even in the midst of chaos and in the midst of turmoil, even in the midst of difficulties or whatever it is that you're going through, the gentleness of your peace of your that's in your spirit needs to be made known to all men. Why do they need to know it? What's the next few words? The Lord is near. The Lord is near. See, it's our gentleness and our peacefulness and our rejoicing in the midst of things that are going wrong, that we think are wrong. He says, I want you to rejoice, and I want you to rejoice always, and I want you to rejoice. Yes, and I'm going to say it again. I want you to rejoice.
Yes.
And I want you to let the rest that you have inside me, that we're dependent upon Him, that the gentleness that we have and the rest that we have and the peace that we have, let it be known to all men. The Lord is near.
Yes.
That's a reason. See, he's wanting the Lord to be acknowledged. Yes. He's wanting the presence of God. See, we're a people. See, somebody says, you know, we're the people of God. I said, you know, I it's great and I love that. But you know what I love better? Watch this. We're the people of His presence. That is God, but we're the people of His presence. We're not saying we're the people of God and He's way up there. You're getting me. We're the people of His presence. But see, this passage doesn't even stop there. I mean, he's telling you that your rejoicing is going to impact people because the Lord is near. Your gentleness and your peace that you're going to be demonstrating is going to be impacting people because the Lord is near. The whole thing is about He's here. He's here. And he says, after he says the Lord is near, watch this. You want to know what this produces? You ready to hear it? Be anxious for nothing. Do you have anxiety going on in your life? Do you have some anxiety that is taking shape or running it's trying to run its course instead of the Holy Spirit running His course? Is there any anxiety? What's his prescription? Rejoice! If you want to start addressing the anxiety, start rejoicing. Well, I don't, Pastor. I just don't see how that'll work. And you know what I'm going to tell you? Neither do I. Because my natural mind says, But see, it's done by faith in Him. He says, I'm telling you to do this. You just believe me and do it. See, it's one thing to say, I believe Him, but I don't do it. It's like the guy that's pushing the wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls on a wire. And he asks this guy, he says, you think I can push this wheelbarrow all the way across this, you know, from one side of Niagara Falls to the other? The guy says, man, I believe you can do it. He said, get in.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. I don't know that I believe you. I don't know I believe that much. See, your belief ought to activate your doing. It needs to activate what you do. And if you're anxious, he's saying, listen, I've got a cure for anxiety. Number one, it's His presence. And number two, it's rejoicing in His presence. Rejoicing in His presence always. I love the way the Message Bible talks about it, about Romans 12. And he said, in your everyday life, in your going to work life, in your walking around life, in your sitting down to eat life, in your going to school life, in this life, and that, whatever it is about your life that you're doing, he says, worship God. Worship His presence. See, he just starts naming all the ways of our life. But see, the enemy wants us to say, okay, from 10:30 to 12, you can do that. Just don't do it too loud. Don't do it too much. But Confine it. Confine your worship to right here. He don't even want that, but he'll settle for that. He'll settle for that knowing that you won't do it anywhere else. But my Bible says all men should be impacted by your rejoicing. All men should be impacted by the peace that you carry because of the Holy Spirit. All men should be impacted by seeing that you're not anxious. You're not worried. He says, be anxious for, well, a few things. Be not anxious for what? I mean, be anxious for what? What can I be anxious for? Just tell me something. Give me something that I can be anxious for, that I can worry about.
Kids.
See, kids are included in the nothing. I'm telling you the truth. Kids are included in the nothing. Be anxious for what? Nothing. That's the reason there's no list that's approved by God for you to be anxious for. Be anxious for nothing. And he said, rejoice. Learn how to rejoice. Learn how to rejoice without being shackled by the opinions. Watch this. By the opinions of man, the opinions of denominations, the opinion. The one that you need to worship and the one that you need to rejoice in is the Lord. And he loves it. He loves for his people to rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God. Everybody say the peace of God. See, this all starts with rejoicing. And the peace of God. It leads you to prayer, it leads you to supplication, it leads you to make requests to him. And the peace of God, which passes all comprehension, all your understanding. I don't understand why I'm so peaceful. He said, it will guard your hearts and your minds, your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Where does it start? It starts with recognizing his presence. How many of you right now, you're going through a very tight, very tough situation in your life? Raise your hand. Look, hands up. Wave your hand. Very tight, very tough situation. Start rejoicing. But I don't, neither do I. But I know him. The enemy would like for us to be burdened so much that our rejoicing button is missing. He didn't say rejoice in what's happened. Rejoice because you got a raise. Rejoice because, you have to hear me. Rejoice because you got a great big promotion. Rejoice because you got a gift. There's nothing wrong with rejoicing when that happens. He said, but that's not the reason you rejoice. You rejoice in the Lord, not just when you get good things. Always. Always. We've been conditioned not to rejoice. We've been conditioned to be able to sort of suppress the rejoicing and suppress the things because we don't want to look strange. Too late. You're already strange. You're already different. If you belong to him, you're already different. If he's inside you, you're already different. You may as well live it out. There's a book that came out several years ago. It says Living Out Loud. Whatever it is that all of you raised your hands about, that this thing that's going on, God has it. Yes. Nothing's too big for him. Don't lose sight of him. Don't lose sight of him in the midst of it. That's the reason David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's in the valley of the shadow of death, and he's walking through it. He's in the valley of the shadow of death, and he's walking through it. Yea, though I walk, yes, 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 yea, yes, yes. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then he says, why? You are with me. The Lord is near. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, and let the gentle spirit be seen by all men, be made known by all men. The Lord is near. You want to give people hope? It's going to come more out of your living than it will out of a track that says hope. Nothing wrong with that. But that can be tossed very easy after you hand it out. But with you living, do you know the Bible says that Jesus taught and he did the very things that he taught about. The very things that he talked about, he would do. Now, how does that apply with us? Do the very things that we talk about, are we doing? Or is it just knowledge without action? That will produce anxiety. He said, you don't want to be anxious? Recognize my presence. Rejoice in me. But that didn't change this thing that I'm going through. But it changes you. And then you become the agent of change. Then you can turn around and change the atmosphere. Change whatever it is, because God's near. And the Holy Spirit is speaking. Then in not being anxious, not worrying about things, he says, talk to me about it. Yeah. I really just love, he said, I don't want you to be anxious for anything, but I want you to talk to me about it. And if you need something, if you have a request, let it be known to me. See, it's about the very presence of God being in us through the Holy Spirit. And he's here. And he's wanting us to be able to speak to him. He's wanting us to be able to talk to him. He wants us to be able to listen to him as he speaks, and listen to him or watch him as he guides us into the things that he wants to go in, and to help us with the things he's wanting to help us with. You know, how many of you ever got to the place and said, help? Wait, put your hand at me. You know, help. You know what he says? I'm here. Why? He's the helper. I'm here. Some of us cry help and wait and just sort of wait for him to show up. And he says, I'm already here. And our heaviness and our anxiety will create heaviness and anxiety for others, because it's of a spirit. Not the Holy Spirit, but it's of a spirit. That's the reason Isaiah tells us, you know, we've sang the song before. It talks about I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my pain. I'm trading
my shame.
What else are we trading? What does that song say? We love singing it, and then we don't make any trades. I've traded my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading this. And I'm exchanging the spirit of heaviness for what? The what? How many of you ever traded cars? Did you trade down? If you did, let's talk. This car's no good. Is there another one out here that's worse than this one? I'll trade you for it. Don't do that. No, you trade up. I used to say, people said, how you doing? How you doing? I used to say, I'm doing okay. And then it hit me one day. The Holy Spirit was just like, am I just okay for you? I mean, I'm living inside you and you're just okay? I repented. Now I'm going around something. You know what I say most of the time, right? How you doing? I said, I'm doing like Tony the Tiger. Great. I'm out of the box. I'm a little flaky, but I'm real sweet. Lord, I didn't say that, did I? My wife's over here. She said, Tim, talk to me about the sweet part. You're a child of the King. You've been created by the Creator. You've been birthed again by the Spirit of God. You've been forgiven of a few sins. God doesn't deal with just a few. He deals with all of them. You've been forgiven of all your sins. Everybody say, all of them.
All.
Tell your spouse, he forgave all of them. And then I'm under your breath, now you need to too. I mean, think about it. Does everybody have a card? One of those cards? Long, white card? Yeah, you got one. Let me see that just a second. Does everybody have one of these? If you do you not have one of these? Raise your hand if you don't have one. Okay, ushers, go to work real quick. Go to work real quick. Come on, quickly. Keep your hand up. You need to sit down. Get him up. You need to sit down? No? You okay? Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let the gentle spirit that you have begin to be seen by all men. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Some of us think that God forgets things other than our sin. But you know, he does forget your sins. He don't remember them. Hey, man. I heard that. You found a place of rest, didn't you? That is good. Everybody have a card? You do not have a card? I want you to wave at me if you do not have a card. We talked last week, you know, about the presence of the Holy Spirit, you know, and the very challenge that Jesus had from out of being baptized with the Holy Spirit. He went straight. He was led into the desert. By the Holy Spirit. You know, we talked about that. And then the first temptation after 40 days, the first temptation, the very first words out of the enemy's mouth was, if you are the Son of God. If you are. So the temptation was not about bread initially. The temptation is about who he thinks he is. Have you ever been told by the enemy, who do you think you are? Oh, I've had that whispered in my ears so many times by the enemy. It's pitiful. Who do you think you are? You go somewhere and they've invited you to speak somewhere else, and then you see all that, and all of a sudden the enemy's whispering in your ear, you're getting ready to speak, and he says, who do you think you are? You don't have anything to say to these people. Who do you think you are? Then you want to witness to somebody, and all of a sudden you start walking over to them, and then you hear, who do you think you are? Then we get intimidated. It didn't intimidate Jesus, but that was the temptation. He wanted, why? The sound of heaven came out, the voice of heaven came out, thundered, rolled, ripped apart, and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. In whom I am well pleased. Satan heard that. That's the reason he said, if you are what that voice said, if you are, well, was he? Absolutely. So what's your temptation about if you are, if you can, if you have the ability? You're not okay. Are you? Are you just okay? He's more than that. I need one of those pieces of paper. Thank you. Y'all got one together? All right, go ahead and stand up. This is his service. We may as well let him have his way, right? I wanted to, right now, I just want you to read over in silence. No, got it. Look, you remember Jesus all through his walk on his earth. You know, he would at times he would tell you who he was. I did a funeral the other day of a person that I didn't know and never saw in my life. You know, the enemy said what the enemy told me. You don't even know these people. Who do you think you are? You know what I said? I'm a child of the living God, and I am sent to give them the message that God wants me to give, so stand back.
Amen.
Started telling them a story about a family that lost a loved one, and Jesus was his friend. And Jesus wept, and the girls, the sisters came out running and said, if you had just been here. Yeah. Both sisters came. If you'd been here, brother wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here. You know Jesus' response? It was another one of those things he was telling you who he was. You know what he said? I am the resurrection. By the way, he didn't say, there is a resurrection. Do y'all know about it? No, he didn't say that. He said, I am the resurrection and the life.
Yes.
He who believes in me, even though he dies, he shall live. Then he looks and says to the girl, do you believe this? What do you believe? See, here's the question. The enemy is going to figure out what you believe. If you're going to confess what he's saying about you, or if you're going to confess and proclaim what God is saying about you. It will change your behavior. It will change what you do. So we need to find out, what is God saying about me? And we need to say the same thing that God is saying about me. That way I can rejoice in the Lord always. Well, this is going on. I'm rejoicing in the Lord always. Well, this right here is going on. Then you can say, well, again, I'm going to rejoice again in the Lord. Why? He's near. All right. You ready? When we get to this, we want to say this loudly here. We want to make it. We really want to just say it with a sort of like a pronounced, real strong voice. And then when we get down to the red part, I mean, make it big. You understand why I say make it big? Disturb the atmosphere with the very things God is saying of who you are. I mean, let the atmosphere rumble with your proclamation of God. Yes, I am one. Oh, some of it's red, and some of it's red at the top. Well, then just make it loud all the way through. Well, no, when it gets down to say, I am an original, that's when I want you to let it out. Y'all ready? Look, look, once again, don't let this be just an exercise. And say, that was nice. That was sweet. Mm-mm. That's God. You ready?
Yes.
Here's the question. Let's ask it. 1, 2, 3. Who am I? Let's answer it.
I am an awesome spirit being of magnificent worth as a person.
I am deeply loved of God. I am completely forgiven by God. I am fully pleasing to God. I am totally accepted by God. I am complete in Christ. I am the handiwork of God. I am full of God's purpose and destiny. God has gifted me. God has placed me. God has arranged me. God has appointed me. I am unique in the body of Christ. There's never been another in the history of mankind, nor will there ever be. Here we go.
I am original.
Point. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.